You, my friend, are listening to The Happy Hearthstone. This episode is brought to you, as always, by awesome people just like you. Thank you so much to those of you who are supporting the show on Patreon, and I want to thank some of you by name. Thank you, Typical Tyrant, Menok, Nicholas D, Nick Patrick, Jordan L, Zerocio, Robert Y, Beef Squatch, Electric Mick, Clape HS, and Matthew D. You can join this awesome team, get some great perks for yourself over at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. Come on, go check it out. I hear all the cool kids are doing it. Hello and welcome to episode 147 of The Happy Hearthstone, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Andrew Brown, and this week I'm diving into the depths of the meta with you. And I'm so happy. I really am to be here with you. It's literally you, me, this microphone, this cup of coffee, a plant over there, and four chairs that are empty. Wah, wah. Wish you were here. But you kind of are, so it's going to be a fun time today. I have pretty much healed from all of the post-BlizzCon woes. Had such a blast being out there creating all that content. I hope all of you enjoyed that thoroughly. But it's good to kind of be back in the normal rhythms now, especially during the exciting time of getting ready for Rostacon's Rumble coming up here in less than a month. Gosh, are we just like 3 weeks away? Holy cow, that is kind of crazy, honestly. But really excited to be here. Got a lot to talk about today as we get ready for that new season. Got some cool announcements for you. We should have some good things to talk about. And honestly, as we talk about why I'm happy today, we have a lot to talk about for that, especially as well. Before I get there, I wanted to take a minute to address any new listeners. Hi, new listeners. How's it going? I realized that probably periodically, I need to kind of go over what this show is all about, because I know we've actually had quite a few new listeners over the past few weeks and months, and that is always so exciting to me. And I don't know how you found the show, whether it was through iTunes, you were searching online for Hearthstone podcasts, maybe a friend recommended it. Regardless of how you found the Happy Hearthstone, I'm really thankful that you're here. And I hope that this continues to be what it has been from the very beginning for you, which is a place to just come enjoy the game, enjoy conversations around this game with a lot of different people who come from a all sorts of different backgrounds as far as upbringings, where they're at in life currently. The one thing that we all share is a love for this game. And I think that especially during this time, it's really great that we have one another that to talk with, to create content with together, all that kind of stuff. So I'm just really thankful if you've joined the family in the past few months, that you would keep coming back and listening to the show. That really means the world. I do want to say up front on the show, because I don't say it often, that the way that this show is so different from every other Hearthstone podcast out there is that there's always an open invitation to the community to come be a part of the show. Thanks to our patrons who are supporting the show, I do come out with weekly content, and that includes things like this week's episode, which is a solo show where I break down the meta. But every other week, we do our normal episode, which is with anyone from the community who wants to come on and talk about anything. It's actually how I first got my start in podcasting, was being a guest on this show before I was a host on it. And so I really love being able to create a platform where other people can come and do the same. Whether you go on to start your own podcast, like some people have, you create, you know, a Twitch stream, or, you know, you just come on and have some fun and continue to engage with the community. Regardless of what's in the future, I love creating an opportunity for you today. So if that interests you, if you'd like to be on the show, I do have a list that's going a few months out now. But I'd love to add you to that list. All you have to do is send me an email at thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com. And do want to encourage you, if you have been listening for a little bit, if you love this show, if it's a shining point of your week, getting to listen to it, to consider joining us in a number of different ways. One way is on the Discord, which is completely free. And I've actually got a great link set up now, which is thehappyhearthstone.com/discord. Oh, that's so much prettier than all the alphanumeric codes and stuff you had to use beforehand. The link has always been on the show notes, but now you can actually, if you're sitting around and thinking, man, I really should join that Happy Hearthstone Discord. You can do it just by going to thehappyhearthstone.com/discord. That'll automatically redirect you and get you over to the great community there. We're talking all about new cards. There's actually been a lot of philosophical discussions as far as like deck creation and stuff like that over there. So come hang out with us, join the conversations that are already happening, connect with people, and grow your friend list and your deck lists also, because we've got a lot of interesting deck lists being shared over there, both fun and competitive. So that's a great way to join the community. And the other ways to support the show, if you enjoy this, are by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts or on iTunes. It means the world. It's a huge help. And I've actually got a really exciting announcement today about what I'm going to start doing this month as a little extra for those of you who have left a review and who will leave a review this month. I'll tease you with that for now. And then, of course, joining the Patreon over at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone is the greatest way to be able to support the show. You can get some great perks. And I guess we'll just do the shout outs now since I've launched into this. To the people who just joined the Patreon in the past week, I want to start doing this just because it means so much every time I see a little notification that someone's joined that. So Luke S., Lindsay W., and Coin Concede, thank you so much for joining the Patreon. I assume that Coin Concede is one of the members of Coin Concede, because I know it does that for me. It'll show up as the Happy Hearthstone. But thank you three so much for joining the Patreon. Most of these were actually done at the $2 a month level, which gets you early access to episodes. So as soon as I have them ready, I get them out. Usually that's at least 12 hours before it's released. I try to get them done beforehand, but on weeks like this week, the only time I can record it is the day before. And so that leads to not as soon as I would like, but typically I'll record them on Saturday or Sunday and get them done that day and uploaded to the Patreon so you can enjoy them ASAP. Monday mornings usually is the latest that they get up there. So thank you three again, Luke S., Lindsay W., and Coin Concede, for joining. And if you would like to join them and the awesome team that makes this show happen every week, go over to patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone to check it out. Okay, so let's talk about why I'm happy. Well, it's November, so that means that the season is changing significantly around here. Colorado, we actually got our first heavy snow. And snow out here is kind of the stereotypical perfect skiing snow, where it's just very powdery and fluffy. You don't necessarily want to go out on the roads immediately and drive like a madman or madwoman, but it's just beautiful. And so when we get those first heavy snows, it's just great times. My daughter has really loved being outside. She's been a part of the snow, but she's just getting to that age now where she can kind of recognize things and remember them for a longer time, you know. So she's, you know, past the one-year-old phase where just everything's new constantly. So that's been a lot of fun to just see and enjoy with the family. We had a really good, solid weekend. And I will tell you, I know this will upset some of you and it will excite others of you. We have put up our Christmas decorations and listened to Christmas music. Let me explain. Those of you who are married will get this. My wife is a huge fan of Christmas, like massive. My rule growing up for myself was always, once you see Santa on the Thanksgiving Day parade, that means that you can start listening to Christmas music and enjoying all that. My wife wishes she could celebrate Christmas 3 or 4 months out of the year. And so it is something that I had to learn early on. You know what? I'm really going to, this is a gift I could really give my wife, to lay my preference down by the wayside and just embrace the season and have a lot of fun. So that's why we do that. And it has been a lot of fun kind of setting things up. And again, same thing with the daughter, that she enjoyed all the Christmas stuff last year, but now she's really like engaging with it and she just loves it. So that was a lot of fun. Also, kind of bringing it into the gaming world, I got Diablo 3 this past week for the very first time. And I know that's insanity if you know my story a little bit, because my upbringing was Blizzard games. So I played the original Warcraft and Starcraft with my dad, but the original Diablo and Diablo 2 is probably where I spent most of my time. I played those games to death. And so the fact I haven't gotten Diablo 3 yet is kind of, it's sacrilege for me that I haven't gotten it, because I love those games so much. And I have finally experienced the beauty of looting dungeons forever. And my goodness, with Diablo 3, like, they took it up to 11 in just about every area of the game. So I am enjoying it insanely. I started with a monk, which I really like the monk in Heroes of the Storm, so I really wanted to try him there. But then I was on once, and my buddy Vastidius over on Legend of the Innkeeper shot me a message because he was playing Diablo 3, and he said, hey, you want to join us? We're playing Seasonal. And I was like, sure, I haven't checked out Seasonal yet. I jump in, and he and his buddy Deadpool are at level 70, which is the max, and they say, oh, we'll level you up real quick. And in about an hour, I got all the way up to level 70. I was fully decked out with mostly legendary and set gear. And I had no clue what was going on. But I logged in the next day and actually found my way around. I was figuring out the, I can't even remember what they're called, but the portals that, yeah, I know this is bad for all the Diablo players. It's the special challenges where you kind of speed run through it. You can usually do it in less than 10 minutes. And you get to upgrade the legendary gems that you have, or you get a chance to upgrade them. Gosh, talk about RNG and Hearthstone. There's some RNG in Diablo 3 also. but I am really having a lot of fun reliving all of that. So it's going to be good. I'm sure I will attempt the cow level at some point because that's obviously like the most epic experience in Diablo 3 you can have. Oh, and I'm a voodoo doctor in the seasonal play, which is really fun too. Those demon dogs, and I need to mess around with the gargantuan build a little bit too. But oh, and there's a skill where you can like summon this creature that turns your enemies into chickens. So if you thought polymorph was powerful in Hearthstone, that's pretty good in Diablo 3 also, just turning a demon into a chicken, you know, no big deal. Or you can upgrade it and it'll summon a frog that swallows an enemy. So, you know, I felt like that was Rostikon vibe. And I named my voodoo doctor Rostikon, of course, because it just felt appropriate, right? So having a lot of fun with that game. And that was a gift from a friend. So if you're listening, friend, thank you so much. They helped me get most of the way in getting that game, and it has been a true joy. So thank you so much. And last two reasons why I'm happy, certainly not least, though, I got to guest on a couple friends' podcasts this past week, and they were so much fun. So first of all, I got to go return home, is how I would call it, to Valen's Chosen, which if you're unfamiliar, I started that Hearthstone podcast with my friends, Not Rob, and Lore Master Eve. And so Eve and Grant, who's now the host on there as well, were not able to make it. So Rob invited me on and we talked BlizzCon in depth. And it was lots of fun to be with him. We ran into some technical difficulties at the very end. But any chance I get to hang with my friends over there, I'm going to very much so and enjoy it. So we had a great time. Definitely go check that out. And then I also got to guest on Into the Wild with my friend Saucy Mailman. So Craig of Canada was sick. We had a lot of people not able to make their podcast this week. But Saucy Mailman and I had been talking about getting me on. And so I've been playing a lot more Wild lately. So I got to go to the Wild podcast and talk about it. That was really good. We talked about a couple of deck lists. I actually tried to modify my Bauman deck list for Wild and sort of put a call out there for people to tinker around with it and figure it out. So be interested to see how people do with that. And then he and I had also both played with this Reno Mechathune list that is kind of insane. It's very wacky. And it's a Reno list that has a ton of duplicates in it. So you'll have to go listen to figure out how it works because it does work. But that was also a lot of fun. And if you liked my Card of the Week song from a couple weeks ago, I'll jog your memory that there was a certain card that I wanted to not exist. I got a lot of great feedback on that song. And because it was Wild, and Craig has taken Card of the Week songs to a whole new level sometimes over on Into the Wild, I decided to take that song and completely blow it out. So you'll definitely want to go listen to it at the very end of that episode if you enjoy that stuff. I'll include links to both of those episodes in the show notes at thehappyhearthstone.com. But you can also, of course, search for whatever app you're listening to this show on, Velen's Chosen and Into the Wild. Hopefully we'll be there. I know they're both on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher for sure. So you can go check them out. All right, let's talk about some of the news that's going on. See, Rostikon's Rumble is coming out December 4th, and we're so excited about that. And one thing that they announced that is really significant this past week is that pre-release events are back, and they are bigger than ever before. You may remember that for the Boomsday Project, they tested this out. They had a few select venues that ran pre-release events, and they were all across the country in the U.S. and all across the world. There were several countries that had several places, and really cool that they did that. It was just a bummer for those of us who weren't near one that, you know, we couldn't attend one. It was pretty clear that they were testing it with that, but I guess it went well because they are ready to just make it massive. So here's the deal. If you are an innkeeper for Fireside Gatherings, you can host a RosterCon's Rumble pre-release event. If you are not an innkeeper, you can host a RosterCon's Rumble pre-release event. If you want to host a public event, you can do that. And if you don't want your event to be public, well, actually, you can do a private one. They have pretty much made it so that anyone, anywhere can host one of these events however they want to. And that is pretty generous and pretty insane. So here are the details that you need to know. Your event has to be between 10 a.m. Pacific on November 30th and 10 a.m. Pacific on December 3rd. So I think that's Thursday through Monday that they're allowing that to happen. I mean, it's really early on Monday, so kind of Sunday that you have to do it. And as long as you host a gathering during those times, you will have access to these two special fireside brawls, and you will also be able to open up any packs, any RosterCon's Rumble packs that you've pre-purchased. You'll be able to open them and use them in those fireside gatherings. So same deal as Boomsday Project. You won't be able to jump on ladder with these cards and stuff. I always think, man, if you, I just can't imagine the load on the IT group for this, like, because if one person figures out how to get through or accidentally there's one line of code that's wrong, there could be some crazy shenanigans on the ladder. So I do not envy their job. I'm sure they did great last time. They would not be opening up this wide unless they had it on lock. So, but that's the kind of craziness that I think of when I see stuff like this. So thank you, unsung heroes of the Hearthstone team, for having that done so that we can enjoy this. Here are the two fireside brawls that you will have access to. So one of them is called RosterCon's No Cards Barred, and you'll be able to construct decks using the cards that you open during the pre-release event. And this is a very small detail that is actually not insignificant whatsoever. So if you've kind of been tuning me out because you know about these pre-release events, tune in here because I haven't heard anyone else talk about this very important line that's in the official notes about this. It says, there are no restrictions on class or duplicates in this one, so you can harness all the mayhem of the Gurubashi Arena. So let me read that important part again. There are no restrictions on class or duplicates in this one. So they haven't gone in depth about that, but if that means what I think it means, it means that you're going to be able to choose your class so you'll get the hero power with it, but you will have access to all of the cards that you opened, regardless of duplicates or class. So this is a very interesting fireside brawl. So it's not just going to be let's find the most meta relevant deck list immediately. But if you get the hero card, which I don't know, I don't think we talked about the details on this show. It has been confirmed the Zul'jin will be the hunter hero card in this set. So really excited to see that. But Zul'jin will be playable in the warrior class just for this brawl. If you open four copies of Void Contract, you could put all four, I think, in your Warlock deck or in your Paladin deck or in your Mage deck. It's probably smart that they're doing this because it gives you access to the cards that you open. And it doesn't restrict you, you know, based off of what you get. So especially if you're not able to craft those cards yet, which I would assume you won't be able to, you can just use everything that you've opened. So, you know, three or four commons, whatever. You get that one legendary for Shaman, but you were really wanting to play with the Warrior class. You know, you can throw that in there. So this will be, it'll be pretty maniacal. I don't know. You probably don't really need to theorycraft too deeply before you go to one of these events because it's just going to be mayhem. But it really will feel like the Gurubashi Arena, I think, because of that. So again, the first brawl, no restrictions on class or duplicates. So pretty cool. That'll be really interesting. And then the second one is called a Royal Recipe that will have pre-constructed brawls. So they will have the new deck recipes from the upcoming set that you can play with. You won't need to have pre-purchased any packs in order to play that one. So even if you didn't pre-order, you've got a reason to go, not just see other people play, but you can jump in and play with some of these new cards and all of that. So it'll be a lot of fun. I think that this is a great opportunity for people who have established Firesides to throw more gas on the fire. But for people who have never done something like this, gives you a really good incentive to do it. In fact, Saucy Mailman and I are in Colorado Springs, and we've talked, and I hope I'll be able to officially say next week that we've got one nailed down, because I really wish I had more margin to do a Fireside Brawl regularly. But for something like this, it's like, come on, we have to get people together because this is going to be way too much fun. So I'll definitely keep you updated on Twitter and on the show if that happens. And you can, of course, go to firesidegatherings.com to go check out if events are happening in your area. If they're not, please jump on it and find a venue to make it happen. As I mentioned earlier, you can do a private event. So even if you just have some friends that you want to have over to your place and you don't want to open it up to the public, you can have them over and kind of hang out and still have access to all this stuff as long as you set up the event. So you do have to go through their system, but it's your choice whether you want to make it public or private. So again, I'm feeling like it's very generous for them to just open this up insanely like that. It makes sense because you want people to be excited about this game and the new expansion. And something like this really does incentivize you to say, well, I wasn't going to pre-purchase, but because I'm here, okay, fine, I'll get some more packs. So that will be a lot of fun. And that's the big thing for the news. What's kind of odd, honestly, we haven't gotten a card calendar yet. Now, I wanted to do a quick internet scrub just to make sure, and that's right, we haven't seen anything yet. This expansion is set to release, let me do the math real fast, 1, 2, 3 weeks from today as this episode is dropping. So we've seen, what, like 14, 16 cards maybe from this new set? We have got 120 more to go. And we do not have much time. I'm kind of wondering if they're going to sort of pull a League of Explorers move and just dump all of these cards on us at once. Yeah, I can't do the math on it that fast, but I can't get an exact number here. But we've got a lot of cards to get revealed. So I'm sure people are feeling mixed feelings about this. I do want to thank, though, the team for one thing in particular, which is a release date. In the past, we haven't gotten them. We've sort of had to speculate and stuff like that. I'm actually totally fine with not getting any of these cards revealed fast. I kind of like it, honestly, just sort of that we're going to have a massive dump in one day. And, you know, that's probably due in part, at least, because for the review episodes for the Happy Hearthstone, we hold off on reviewing all of them until we have the context of all of them. So, you know, that's probably partially my style and stuff. But typically, I feel like the patch goes in like 5 days before the release date actually happens. So if that's the case, we've only got 2 weeks until the patch is going to go through and we'll see all the cards. So I kind of wonder if we're going to see this very small trickle. I mean, we saw one card last week. We've seen two cards today as I'm recording this. So I wonder if we'll see maybe a few more cards throughout this week. And maybe like 10 to 20 cards next week, but then the day the patch hits or something, we just get, you know, 100 cards or something. That, honestly, I kind of like that a lot. I do hope that we have sort of a reveal stream like we have in the past. It's always been fun to see somebody from the community like, you know, Frodan or Day9 or someone talking through the cards and kind of getting their hot takes with a developer. But regardless, we will see them soon, I assume, and I'm really excited about it. I'm excited to talk about a certain card later, but no news on that end. If you do want more info on the pre-release events, you can go to the show notes at thehappyhearthstone.com, and I've got the link for you there on all that. I did the sponsor break earlier, so I won't hit you with all that again. Let's just go ahead and jump into our main topic. We haven't talked about the meta in a while, so it's probably about time that we do. The truth is that not a ton has changed. I will say that in the past week or two, I've been extremely encouraged with the variety of new things that I've seen that people are getting to very high legend with or breaking into legend with. My experience so far in the ladder has not been as encouraging as far as Typically I can consistently get to rank five or higher than that. And I haven't thrown as much time into standard as I used to. But the games that I have gotten to, I haven't been able to really hit the levels that I used to. So, and playing some of the most consistent decks according to some of these reports too. So I'm interested to hear from some of you. If you'd like to be featured actually on the next episode of this, I think we'll have one more meta episode. Yeah, we should have one more meta episode in a couple weeks right before the expansion hits. So let me know which decks have worked for you, and I'd love to talk through some of your responses and kind of what has stood out to you in this meta. So I'll be sure to ask for that in the Discord and stuff too. But let me know what your favorite decks from the Boomsdays meta have been. And, we'll forget any mentions of hellos and stuff like that. So let's, we'll talk through three of the main meta reports that are available out there and digest them all. I'll give you my Have a Happy Time deck of the week that you can hit ladder with, and we'll go on our merry way from there. So first, we always talk about the Vicious Syndicate report. And it looks like there are still kind of the main competitors up at the top. We've got Cube Hunter, even Warlock, Odd Paladin, even Shaman, and even Paladin competing at the Tier 1 level. So that means they have a 52% win rate or above. That's at all ranks. What's interesting with Vicious Syndicate is that you can siphon things down to different levels of ranks. And it's always interesting to see which decks kind of fluctuate based off of which ranks you choose. So one of the main brackets that I like to look at on there is rank 4 to rank 1. They don't include rank 5 because a lot of people are messing around with a lot of different variations. So if you're tryharding and trying to get to that rank 4 to rank to legend, this is a really good representation of maybe what's working there. And things shift here to represent even Warlock, Odd Paladin, Cube Hunter, and then Cube Warlock. So Cube Hunter falls a little bit. These are all in that 52% range. So nothing is too overly powered right now. There's so many decks in Tier 2. It's kind of crazy to me. So the tough thing is that none of these are really bad picks necessarily. Malygos Druid may have a 50.23% win rate, but that's also a tough deck to pilot. So for the people who are doing well with it, they're probably doing much better for that. And for those who just wanted to try it out, they may actually be bringing the win rate down significantly. So that deck might be really well suited. Odd Warriors, kind of the same thing, where that one can be tough to pilot as well. But really interesting for me to see that even Paladin just continues to kind of sneak into the Tier 1 mark most of the time. I sort of wanted to dive into this a little bit looking at their matchup reports here. Even Paladin noted really good matchups against Zoo Warlock, against Odd Rogue, and against Token Druid. So if you're seeing a lot of aggressive things, I think even Paladin is just able to cut through the barrier of the game where that aggro player can win. Mid-range threats, stuff like Consecration and Wild Pyromancer to just make sure that the board is completely clear. And then even Paladin can really establish some big late game or mid to late game threats with stuff like Spike Ridge Steed or other clearing options like Avenging Wrath. So I haven't played any even Paladin, I think, this month, and I'm really interested too. The bad matchups are pretty much anything Shaman, so Shudderwalk and even Shaman, Big Spell Mage and Odd Warrior. So those decks are always going to be the late game value that can just really clear things out. And they typically do well against the really aggressive decks. It seems like even Paladin is still aggressive. It's just not quite as, punch the gas from turn one necessarily. You're throwing out the 1-1 Silverhand Recruits, I guess, at the beginning, but it's not necessarily a deck that's going to try and just overrun your opponent like crazy from the beginning. I thought it was interesting that Murloc Mage isn't on here. That's actually been my go-to for playing on the standard ladder because you talk about decks that are aggressive from the very beginning. Putting Murloc Tidecaller on turn one feels good if you've got the Murlocs to follow it up. And so I've been having some fun with that deck and doing okay. I need to make my way up from the rank 10 floor here pretty soon. So that's what Vicious Syndicate has as their highest win rates. And they actually recommend Even Paladin and Cube Warlock. They say Even Paladin's matchup spread is very impressive. And it's been doing so well at different levels of plays, including top legends. So it's too good against too many prominent strategies to really ignore what it's able to do. And then Cube Warlock, really interesting. It's always, you know, Cube Warlock, it's, I know there have always been so many arguments against Quest Rogue and how that deck refuses to die, but Cube Warlock is getting to that point for me where it's like, I guess it hasn't been, it only had the one round of nerfs, but it's interesting to me just how Cube Warlock continues to sort of just hang on and be so effective against certain metas. And, you know, they note here that it's really good against being able to contest druids, hunters, and board-centric aggressive decks. So, you know, having access to your Hellfires, Defiles, and then being able to just be explosive with 15 Doom Guards on one turn might be a little over-exaggerative, but still a really interesting deck to pilot. So a bit tougher to pull off, probably, but worth it if you got that Skull of the Minari. And Skull is going to be rotating out here pretty soon. So that's what Vicious Syndicate brings to the table there. Let's look at hsreplay.net and their meta that is very current. So, man, Odd Paladin is just like, that has been on the top of their tier list. I'm pretty sure all Boomsday Project long. Maybe not at the very beginning, but it has been there for so long and continues to just kill with their reported win rates here of 56.5%. I mean, that is insanely high. So Odd Paladin just is so able to destroy your opponent quickly if they don't have answers fast. And I don't know, I haven't seen very many Warlocks, I feel like, especially even. So, you know, that's really the worst deck to come up against when you're Odd Paladin, because there's so many. They're just able to take care of pretty much anything, whether you've leveled up your guys or are just going really wide, really fast. They can take care of pretty much anything you have with their board clears. So if that's not out much, then yeah, Odd Paladin can have a field day. And Even Shaman is very similar in all of its ways. So Even Shaman follows that up, followed by Secret Hunter. And I believe this is the Subject 9 list, actually, that's been floating around. Yep, it sure is. And I've seen a couple variations on this. The most recent one is running double Secret Keeper, double Dire Mole, and double Crackling Razor Maw. So it's a very aggressive deck. Really interesting. Actually, looking at all of these. So it's Odd Paladin, Even Shaman, Secret Hunter, Even Paladin, and then Odd Rogue. And then Zoo Warlock just barely gets cut out into Tier 2 with a 54.2% win rate. So all of these Tier 1 decks are fairly aggressive. Some might argue that Even Shaman isn't like... Even Shaman and Even Paladin aren't, you know, just smorking you every single turn. But maybe that's why I haven't won as much with them or something like that. But Secret Hunter, Odd Paladin, Odd Rogue definitely are. They're trying to end the game as fast as possible with a lot of heavy threats right up front. So interesting that things have kind of swung back into this really heavy, aggressive meta. I'm so interested whenever I'm recording these episodes to see if that's your experience or not, because I think it's tough sometimes looking at these reports and seeing the numbers that are, you know, they're not just made up on this report or Vicious Syndicates. They're backed by player data. So seeing these and then your experience either being right in line is really encouraging or way out of whack is pretty discouraging, honestly. So I don't know if you're I have not seen much control. I mean, even in my wild play, because I've been playing more on the wild ladder this month, it's been so many Even Shamans, which you think Even Shaman's aggressive in standard. Go check it out in wild, where you've got Jade Lightning, Crackle, Flameless, Faceless. Wow, what is the 4-mana 7/7? Faceless, Flame Wreath, Faceless. I got there. Goodness. I need to stop trying to name cards. The 4-mana 4/4 that gets +1/+1 for every totem you have. Drenae, Totem Carver. I got there. Ha! I try to pride myself in knowing all the cards, but sometimes you can't come up with them on the spot. Even Shaman's just crazy over there. So So I don't know. It's really interesting to see that we've swung so hard into a very heavy, aggressive meta. And I think, you know, as we talk about the recommendations and stuff, the ways to combat this is to kind of be a tier above. Yeah, these might be taking the meta by storm and able to just, you know, beat out opponents pretty easily. But if you're seeing, if this is representative of what you're seeing on your niche of the ladder, then it's nice when everything is at least in one style to say, hey, if you're seeing a lot of aggressive decks, you might want to consider something that's more control oriented, because that's, you're typically going to be able to get a lot of value out of your board clears. You're going to be able to establish late game threats and just basically exhaust them out of resources while you're sitting pretty. So, yeah, pretty cool. So that's what HS Replay has there. And then let's look at Tempo Storms. And I know I've said it before, but it's worth saying again. The Tempo Storm meta snapshot is made by many really good pros in the game. People like Ant, BB Gun Gun, Lucre, and Ray C. They contribute to this, and they basically talk about what they're seeing and what they really believe are the best decks right now. And no surprise that we've got a variation of Druid decks on here, because if HS Replays that Odd Paladin at the top of their meta snapshot for the entire past month or two, Tempo Storm has definitely had Malygos, Togwaggle, and Token Druid at the top of Tier 1 for a very long time. But actually beating all of them out this week is Death Rattle Hunter. So I don't think that we've seen that yet. And Death Rattle Hunter does seem to me like it's been the deck to beat. You know, at the top of the Vicious Syndicate report and the top of their meta report, Death Rattle Hunter just has so many really good mid-game or early threats to be able to... Well, they've got so many early-game threats, mid-game threats, and late-game threats. And then with Deathstalker Rexxar, you're able to just get infinite value in the games that take way too long. So this deck really has everything. And it has the ability to flex to whatever you need it to be. So I think that it is a really easy recommendation. And I'm glad that you know, they were able to... agree that maybe Druid's not the top of the top right now. I was actually really surprised to see Token Druid so high on this list still. You know, I want to see kind of what they say on here. With Death Rattle Hunter replacing Quest Rogue's role on the ladder, numerous tempo aggro decks back online, and very few control decks available for contesting, this meta seems very appealing to Token Druid. That's probably a good point. Giggling Inventor was a nice addition, but never essential. You can try different combinations with Violet Teacher, cheap spells, and cheap taunts. In aggro matchups, Strong Shell Scavenger is a bad card and is out-tempoed all too easily. So pretty interesting to see that. They've got Token Druid as a really good combatant against combo Shudderwalk Shaman, Death Rattle Hunter, and then pretty much all the aggressive decks we talked about earlier, Odd Paladin, Quest Rogue, and even Shaman in particular. So... let's talk about my recommendations for you this week. I am going to say that Death Rattle Hunter is really going to be a good choice for you, regardless. With all of the aggressive decks doing so well that we talked about, Odd Paladin, Odd Rogue, even Shaman, getting your candle shot on one, having the Devilsaur Egg into a Terror Scale Stalker or Play Dead or something like that, that stuff just gets you in such a position to be able to contest a board. Having Deathstalker Rexxar to get all those Rush Lifesteal minions is going to help you to maintain your board presence and your life total. So I really feel like that deck in particular is well suited for what you can see. And then even Warlock is going to be my other big suggestion. With all the board clears that it has and abilities to really do well against a variety of different decks, even Warlock has always just impressed me with its ability to turn on the gas about mid-game and start getting really aggressive against the control matchups. And then it's got all the board clears that you need and survivability with spellstones. And there's something else I'm forgetting that's able to boost your life total. But I just think it's really well suited against the aggressive decks that you're going to see most of the time out there. So if that's what you're seeing, I would highly recommend both of those decks. And I think getting to know the ins and outs of them are really going to serve you well on the standard ladder. So there you go. Those are my recommendations for how to have a happy time on the ladder. I know you can do it. Hang in there. Achieve your goals and become a champion before Rastakhan even hits the road. It's going to be a good time when that happens. So let's jump into our community section. No questions this week and no reviews on iTunes either. That's sad. But like I teased earlier, I actually have a reason to get you in the game. So if you've listened to the show ever, you know iTunes reviews are important. Apple Podcasts, you know, both platforms are really, they're the same platform, but they're all different things. So regardless, I wanted to find a way to just kind of get you over the board. I know many of you have probably been thinking, oh yeah, I need to do that, but it keeps falling on the back burner. So here's what I'm prepared to do. Anyone who leaves a review during the month of November 2018, that's this month, is going to be eligible for a 1-hour coaching session with me. So if you've been wanting to get better at the game, if you've been thinking, man, I would love to join the Patreon for Happy Hearthstone and get some coaching, but right now it just may not work, this is a great way to support the show, and you can get a little something for your efforts too. So there you go. It's really that simple. Go over to Apple Podcasts or iTunes and leave a review. And then email me at thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com and let me know what the name or what your username is on iTunes so that I can put you in the drawing. And here's the deal. I know many of you might say, hey, Andrew, I left a review way back when. That's totally not fair. You're right. It's not. And the reason I've been so hesitant to reward for the iTunes reviews is because truly, like, I'm still so thankful for those of you who left a review last month, last year, 3 years ago. Like, those things are still helping. So here's what I'm going to do. If you've ever left a review on iTunes for the Happy Hearthstone, you are eligible as well. What? That's right. That's exactly right. So same deal. You just need to email me at thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com and let me know what your username was when you did that. You can go search for The Happy Hearthstone on iTunes and look at the ratings and reviews, and you can scroll through and find yours. If you can't remember, it'll have your username on there. And just shoot me an email and I will put you in that raffle as well, because I honestly, like, I can't thank you enough for doing that. So there you go. That's your call out. I love reading these every episode and just can't thank those of you enough who have done it already or who are going to do it. So leave the review or go back and find your username for when you left it. And then either way, send me an email, thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com, and let me know so I can get you entered into the raffle by the end of the month. I will make that drawing on December 1st, and I'll get you taken care of next month. So looking forward. I love doing coaching sessions, so it'll be a lot of fun to be able to do that and help you out a little bit. So there you go. All right, time for card of the week. And this one, the parody actually came from, I believe it was Matt at Arms in our Discord channel. So shout out for the Discord again. Don't forget thehappyhearthstone.com/Discord. You can go join it. Matt really wanted for that awesome trailer song to be the theme for this next card of the week song. So Matt, I couldn't let you down. And there were several other people who were like, yeah, you need to do that. Okay. I've never spoofed a Hearthstone trailer before, but that's about to become a thing that has happened, not a thing that has never happened. So here you go. Here's our card of the week. So you want to fight and be the best troll. Prove you're far more than just another pothole. Grab your axe, scrunch your face, and paint your face away. But you gotta pay. Don't tell me you didn't Ticketmaster. Or check Groupon to get your tickets faster. Now to get in, you're gonna have to pray. Wait! Maybe not today. There's a gal, she sure seems pretty friendly. Double face value? Well, at least it's a clear pathway. Now I got in, thanks to my new helper, the Ticket Scalper. There you go. The Ticket Scalper is a newly revealed card from Rastakhan's Rumble, a common neutral 4 mana, 5 attack, 3 health, pirate minion, and it reads, overkill, draw 2 cards. This is a really cool card, and I don't think it's necessarily going to change the game, but I love how this card was designed, and let me tell you why. We've seen these pirate minions that had a really high attack, low health, like Salty Dog, I think was a 5-mana 7-4 back several sets ago. And it was kind of interesting, but it's just like it dies way too easily, so whatever. This minion has fair stats, so 4-mana 5-3, like you think about the Senjin Shieldmaster is a really good example. So that's a 3-5 with taunt. This is 5-3, so just swap them. 5-3 is going to die far more easily because there are lots of spells that can do 3 damage and stuff like that. But with this overkill effect, drawing 2 cards is nothing to snuff at. Like something you can relate this to is the Gnomish Inventor. 4-mana 2-4, Battlecry, draw a card. So that's guaranteed. The stats aren't quite as good. I feel like the flavor on this card is just right. Overkill drawing 2 cards, if you can trade into something that essentially has 4 health or less, then you get to draw 2 cards. You're going to have to sacrifice the Ticket Scalper, but it's kind of like a 4-mana Fireball. It's a little bit lighter, but drawing 2 cards, I mean, that's worth 3 mana. So it's a risk. It's a risk that can be easily met. The 3 health is just pretty easy to deal with on your opponent's side. But I like that kind of feel for the Pirates, that they're more aggressive and, can be a bit squishier. So I feel like they got all of that right. Do you play this card? I don't know. We can see that they're doing the Pirate themes with Rogue for sure, so it'll be interesting to see what other support there is, because I think there could be a place for this to sort of be a draw mechanic that you just hope works out, or even that it becomes a lightning rod that your opponent just deals with it, and then you've got even better threats on turn 5 or something like that. And then I think in Wild, where Pirate Warrior is very much still a thing, I don't know that you really play this, because your 4-mana cards are things like, like the Corcoran Elite. Frothing Berserker is 3-mana. I can't think of what the other 4-mana cards are. You could play Mortal Strike, or Death Spite is another big one. You got Captain Greenskin coming on the other side. So I don't think this does enough immediately. In Pirate Warrior, you really want everything to be aggressive, and this is a little more value-oriented. So I like that it exists. I think that it could see play if there's enough support around Pirate Rogue. And I don't know what other real strong mechanics Rogue has for drawing cards. You got Sprint, obviously, which is the late game. I can't remember the early game things that it really... Oh, Fan of Knives it has. And I'm sure there's one that I'm... Elven Minstrel is a big one. Actually, I feel like you could play Elven Minstrel and this in the same deck and probably be okay with it. So it'll be interesting. I don't think it's going to change things drastically, but I really liked it, and I thought it was too thematically relevant to skip over for card of the week. But I'll be really excited to talk about this card on the review episode, since I'll actually have the context of whether Pirate Rogue could be a thing for it or not. I would expect that I'm going to have one of two approaches. Either this card has no chance of seeing any play, or give it a chance. Maybe Pirate Rogue could be a thing and this is in there. It's not going to be much more than that, though, I don't think. Well, let's go ahead and wrap up the episode. I want to tell you, as always, that you are the happy Hearthstone. And I love being able to talk to new listeners at the beginning and then, talk to you about how to engage with this podcast. Truly, this podcast is all about what you make it to be. So coming back and listening every single week is a huge part of what makes this show so great. But I really would love to hear from you and get your input on this show, whether that's coming on and being a co-host, sending in an email with what you think about the show, what you'd like to see in future episodes. And remember, for the next 2 weeks from now, I'll do that meta episode where we can talk about kind of the Boomsday Project meta in general. So let me know what your favorite decks, cards have been to mess around with. And I would love to get your input for that episode. But then, as always, the Patreon is going to be the best way to support the show, and truly would love to hit some of the other milestones that we have to be able to do more and serve you guys more with creating more content. So you can go and at $5 or above, you'll get exclusive content that I'm coming out with every single week. Still playing with some fun decks to be able to kind of showcase how to play them and stuff. So it's another great option if you're not able to get coaching and stuff to go and do that and be able to hear a lot of talk. And I have to thank, as always, Red Knight and Risen for being official producers for the Happy Hearthstone. Thank you two so much for your support, for your love, and for the joy that you bring to this community. I saw Risen's going to be at DreamHack Atlanta. Red Knight, I don't think I saw that you're going to be there. But really excited to see how you do, Risen, at that. But as always, you guys are great. Appreciate your love and support big time. And yeah. Go follow me on Twitter at AndrewIsLiving for any updates. I try to throw out a thought or two about any revealed cards, so you can go check those out. You can email the show again at thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitch at AndrewIsLiving as well to find my random streams that happen. And find out all information about the Happy Hearthstone at thehappyhearthstone.com. I've got some exciting stuff in the works for the month of December, so get excited. I got to finalize some details and stuff, but there's some good stuff in the comeuppance in the future. Yeah. That's a way better way to say it in the future. So thankful for every single one of you tuning in. Thank you so much for being a part of this community. I hope you're enjoying our last few weeks of anticipation of Rosticon's Rumble. December should be a really fun month with all of the new cards, new archetypes. I mean, we're going to basically see a new archetype, I think, for every class around the different teams and stuff. They probably will not all be meta relevant necessarily, but I bet there'll be one or two. So it'll be fun to see kind of what comes from that. And I mean, we've just barely scratched the surface on the cards that we've seen. So lots left to see, enjoy, and engage with. Just cannot wait. So thankful for you. Thank you so much for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. I'll see you next time.